And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
DirecTV gives you access to apps like Netflix and live sports right next to each other.
I don't get it.
Let me put it in pigeon terms. It's like that one amazing dumpster with the old fruits and cardboard all in one place.
How am I supposed to keep up with illustrative metaphors when you are making me so hungry?
Get live TV and streaming apps together without a satellite. Visit DirecTV.com. Requires high-speed internet-connected Gemini device and separate paid subscription to watch Netflix on DirecTV. Terms and restrictions apply.
The Athletic.
The only way to score is, of course, to play with a hand break off.
Hello, I'm Ian Stone. This is Handbreak Off, the Arsenal podcast, brought to you by The Athletic. Today we'll be doing a bit of a squad audit, as well as previewing our visit to Old Trafford on Sunday. I'm joined by James McNicholas and Adrian Clarke. Morning.
Morning, Ian.
Hello.
Morning. Nice to see you guys. You may have seen a clip of various Premier League footballers choosing who they think would survive a zombie apocalypse. It's that part of the season, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. David Raya went for Gabriel Magalhães, saying he's a tough guy. I wouldn't say intelligent, but he's smart. Jorginho wasn't so sure, responding, "Big Gabby, no. He'll try to fight the zombies. He'll be the first one to go." Yeah, I'm following Georgie on this one. Gabriel Jesus, incidentally, opted for Fabio Vieira because, and I'm not joking, he looks like one of them. He could just sort of blend in with the zombies. What about you, James? Which of the players would survive a zombie apocalypse?
Well, it's hard to top that Fabio Vieira answer, I have to say. Really it nice is. From Jesus. But I was thinking about survivors in this Arsenal squad, and I went for Mohamed Elneny because, you know, he seems to survive everything. I think he survived three managers and a serious injury, and he's still here. So, you know, we're doing the squad audit in a minute. It wouldn't surprise me if we end up giving him a new five-year contract the way it's going from Elneny. He endures throughout everything.
He does. He does. You can imagine the zombies have taken over the world and there's a smiling Elneny just G'ing them up. I was going to say in the dressing room, but I don't think zombies have a dressing room. What about you, Adrian?
Very, very similar, a similar mindset here to James. Yeah, but I've gone for Cedric because no matter what seems to happen, he still sticks around.
He
is a great survivor, and you probably don't notice him for most of the season, and maybe the zombies, when they're going on this sort of rampage, maybe they wouldn't be able to find him either. And then he'll just pop up and say, "Yeah, I'm still here."
Cedric and Elneny. Okay, I'll see where this is going. Well, I've gone completely a different way, really. I've gone for Declan Rice because he'll just keep running. He'll keep running. I mean, in the end, I've watched a lot of zombie movies and there's a lot of running away from them. And I think Declan Rice could do, even in the 96th minute, those zombies would not catch him. Everyone else is getting nabbed. He's just running off them, isn't he?
Anyway. I've never watched a zombie movie. You've watched loads, and I've never watched one. I don't
28
think.
Days later, 28 yeah. weeks later, and then there's a new one, the Danny Boyle one, which is, I think, 28 years later. And various other, they're great. I really, really like them, actually. And The Last of Us is one of the great bits of telly, and that's
I enjoyed that
as well.
yeah
it was fantastic. By the way, what about the handbrake team? Any of us? Can I just say, I would not survive one second in a zombie movie. I just don't have the skills, really. I do they provide comfy chairs? I don't think they do.
Do you know who has got the skills, I reckon, is Aunt de Roche. I reckon Art de Roche spent not most of his life. That's an exaggeration. He's watched a lot of football. But I reckon he's played loads of games on his consoles down the years where he's obliterated zombies. So he'll know the tactics. It wouldn't surprise me if he's got a few props. You know, like you can buy those steering wheels for the Formula One game. I reckon he's got some sort of weaponry in his bedroom.
A shield.
Ready just in case the zombies come.
Button by his bed and the wall goes back and there's a whole armory in there. I reckon that is Art de Roche.
I like the sound of that. Let's go with Art from the handbrake team. Let's do that with his complete zombie kit hidden behind a wall. Let's talk about the squad. We're going to sort of go through goalkeeper, defence, midfield and attack and see what we got. Our goalkeeper, well, I mean, we talked about David Raya on Monday. We expect to activate his £27 million permanent fee. Adrian, I mean, you mentioned this We're going to sell Aaron Ramsdale, right? And then we got Cole Hine and Arthur Okonkwo, both out of contract. Do we need a couple of goalkeepers if we sell Aaron as well?
I think we do. I think we need at least one, maybe two. Yeah, even though I said on the last pod that the goalkeeping position is probably in the sort of top three or four that we could upgrade, I don't expect us to try and do that this summer. So a little bit of stability in that department, I think, is probably in order. But yeah, I think, well, Amy talked about Szczesny maybe coming back, or Fabianski, yes, which I thought was really interesting. I had to write a piece for a Japanese publication recently, kind of like a squad edit or audit like this. And I'd floated the idea of like a Brighton's steal. Because yes, someone that's brilliant at playing out from the back would be delighted to be sub goalkeeper here, but obviously Premier League standard. So somebody like that would be great. A steal or an Arsenal old boy, I could see. I think one of the youngsters should probably go. Carl Hines had a couple of opportunities in the first team and it hasn't gone great. Okonkwo's had a sort of mixed time at Wrexham on loan, but has made some brilliant saves. I think maybe I would be inclined to sort of have him as the third keeper, maybe let Hine and Ramsdale go this summer.
Get a number two. I mean, we're not. You're right about the churn. We on the pod on Monday, James, we did talk about possibly the fact that we could get an upgrade on David Raya, but it would be a bit odd, would it not? You know, having got him in with all that fuss, and then he's won the Golden Glove. He's our number one goalkeeper. We're going to sign him, I guess, in the next few weeks and months.
Yeah, I don't see a major change there. And I think it would be really disruptive, you know, to change the number one again 12 months on. And I think David Raya's done more than enough. You know, the Golden Glove speaks for itself. I think we could be looking at two goalkeepers coming in, very possibly. You know, we do need a number two. I love the idea of someone like a Steele, if Brighton could be persuaded to part with him to come in. That's what I really hope from the number two, is that we get someone who's stylistically similar, who's a fit with the game model.
We'd have to, surely, because that seems to be that all the thinking is joined up, right, James? And you're not going to get a Petr Cech, for example. No disrespect for him, you're just not going to get a goalkeeper who's a good shot stopper, but can't play with his feet.
Well, we got a Matt Turner, Ian, so I'm a little bit worried. But
that is true. No, you're right, but. Yeah, you're right. Sorry, yeah, so that's a fair point.
With respect to Matt, because, you know, he's the US number one and he's a good goalkeeper, but he's not the right goalkeeper for this system. And I think we need to make sure we do that. And then for the third choice, personally, I'd like to see an older head come in. You know, you mentioned Fabianski, somebody like that who can be a bit of a mentor for the other two potentially. I mean, that role is a training role. Essentially, you need someone who's a really brilliant trainer, who keeps the other guys sharp, keeps them focused. And I think an experienced head could be perfect for that. But we'll see.
And also, it is someone who's basically happy not to play because they're basically not going to get very, very many games. You almost want a sort of Mohamed Elneny of goalkeeping, don't you, really, in a sense?
Yeah, I mean, Chelsea have got a guy, Marcus Bettinelli, who, you know, has been around the block and he's at Chelsea now, and they really like what he brings to the training ground, what he brings to the group. I think it's as much about the psychological profile in that third choice keeper role as the technical one. And I wonder if Arsenal might go a similar route this summer, maybe.
Yeah. All right. I mean, we won't talk too much about people we could bring in. Goalkeeper, it's a special case. In terms of our defence, Ben White, William Saliba, Gabriel Magalhães, we all love them and they can stay as long as they want. We're excited about Jurrien Timber, right, Adrian? I remember having this conversation on this pod at the start of this season and what we were looking forward to, and it was so gutting that we haven't seen him, but nonetheless very, very exciting prospect.
Yeah, exactly. I think that the likelihood is it will be White, Saliba, Gabriel and Timber at the start of next season if everyone's fit. I think that's probably how we'll go.
And how many more do we need then? If we've got those four, do we need, say, three more? We've got Tomiyasu and Kivior, let's say, but do we need one more on top of that?
Well, it depends who goes, doesn't it? You've got Tierney. Tierney and Tavares, I think, probably their time is up. So you're looking to maybe offload those two and Cedric. So look, yeah, just on a numbers game, then you need at least one or two to come in, don't you? You've also got Zinchenko, which is the sort of elephant in the room. And I think that because Mikel seems to have lost trust in Zinny at left back, or a little bit of trust, not total, it feels like he's third choice really, doesn't it, at the moment. Maybe the time has come to use him as a central midfielder. And yeah. and we are a little bit light on bodies in that department. And I would almost, yeah, just reconfigure him as a CM instead of a left back. That might be the way forward. In which case, I would go for a left footed defender. I would personally go for someone that's quick. Someone very rounded. I don't know who this player is, but basically somebody like Tierney, someone that can play as a left-sided centre-back, but someone that can also offer you that width going forward, that can tuck into midfield. Do you know what? Somebody like the Spurs kid, Destiny Udogie, I think that is someone that maybe we lack. Someone that defends, that can invert and can fly forward. Somebody of that mould, I think, maybe, you know, just a younger version of Kieran Tierney. Maybe somebody who stays fit a little bit more often than him. That's probably what I would do.
Adrian, what do you think of Ike Nouri?
Good player, yeah. Much improved, yeah.
He's
much
a good improved. Footballer, you know.
My issue is that I think he's more of an attacker. I think he's more
like Zinchenko in a sense.
Yeah, in terms of, I think the weakest part of his game is the defending. That's my issue with it. It's probably why I wouldn't go for him, but he's definitely the most improved player. I mean, I saw him just a few weeks ago used as a number 10 for Wolves, and he was brilliant. He was absolutely superb.
Wow.
But I like having this big back four. I do like it. So you don't have to be giants, but I think someone solid that can get up and down would be handy. But they would have to probably be a backup to Timber, wouldn't they? I mean, I don't know what you think. I don't know if you agree, disagree.
Well, they like... there's a kid at Ajax, Jarel Hato, who's, I think, only going to be 18 this summer, but plays centre-back for them, can play left-back as well, has played left-back. He might be a fit, obviously a very young player, but we know that Arsenal aren't averse to something like that. And he's playing first-team football, played Champions League football. And I think he might be an option based on the bits and pieces we've heard. But beyond that, yeah, I'm not sure. I do think left-back is an area where we might see somebody come in. And even though someone like Jakub Kiwior's had, I think, you know, a pretty good season for the most part and made a big contribution, certainly in that run where he was in the side at left-back, it wouldn't blow my mind if an offer came in for him and Arsenal decided to trade. You know, I think that is, there is a prospect of that potentially this summer. So I think that left-hand side of the defence could be an area that is under focus in the summer transfer market.
Yeah, I mean, we haven't really settled any one player, have we? We've had four players playing that position through the season. And okay, the defence is looking pretty good. I mean, let's be fair. We are probably going to end up with the best defence in the Premier League this season. So we probably wouldn't spend major money on upgrades in that area when we think about further forward. Right, Adrian?
Yeah, no, I think it's a young, up-and-coming, really promising. Yeah, somebody of the mould of the guy at Ajax that James spoke about. That seems the most logical way forward. And obviously, if you did sell Kivior, which I personally wouldn't, then he'd need replacing for sure.
Yeah.
with a player of more experience. Because look, we kind of got away with it this year with Gabriel and Saliba, but it's not to say that's going to last forever, is it? I think we'd all be fairly comfortable with Kivior coming in for Gabriel, or, you know, Timber sliding across, or Tommy, or even Ben White. So we're okay for numbers, but if Kivior goes, which I don't think he will, but if he does, then he'd need replacing.
The difficulty, of course, with all this is that you're asking players to come in knowing that they're unlikely to be in the first team. Now, we've watched Arsenal this season, and Leandro Trossard will be a fine example, and we'll get to him, of someone who came in and thinking that he wasn't going to be first choice and now absolutely is. So there is a pathway through. But James, those players are quite hard to find, aren't they, in any position?
I suppose so, but you know, that's the challenge of coming to a place like Arsenal. And you mentioned Trossard. I think he's exceeded expectations, probably played more football than anticipated. And he's not alone in that, in the Arsenal squad this season. You know, somebody like Jorginho, I think, has played a lot more big games than anticipated. Jakub Kivior, you'd have to include in that as well. So I think they've shown that there is opportunity there. You know, you never know where injuries might strike. You never know where your chance will come. And you've got to hope the allure of coming to Arsenal, you know, potentially a title challenger again for a third consecutive season, going to be playing in the Champions League, that's guaranteed by now, is enough to persuade players to come and compete. I think if you want to be at the top level, you have to expect and accept competition.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
DirecTV gives you access to apps like Netflix and live sports right next to each other.
I don't get it.
Let me put it in pigeon terms. It's like that one amazing dumpster with the old fruits and cardboard all in one place.
How am I supposed to keep up with illustrative metaphors when you are making me so hungry?
Get live TV and streaming apps together without a satellite. Visit DirecTV.com. Requires high-speed internet-connected Gemini device and separate paid subscription to watch Netflix on DirecTV. Terms and restrictions apply.
Let's talk about the midfielders. Martin Ødegaard and Declan Rice are shoo-ins, of course. Jorginho has been offered a new contract and is expected to sign it. And I mean, I don't know, I'm sure you guys feel the same way. I love having him about. He just seems such a sensible, fun guy with masses of experience. Maybe hasn't got quite the legs that he used to have, maybe he never did, but he's been an excellent signing and I'm so glad he came to us. Thomas Partey, James, I would like to keep him personally. There have been occasions in the last few weeks when he's been a bit caught in possession and you've wondered when whether he's slowed up or whether it's just the fact that he hasn't played for months and months and he's not quite up to speed. But when we started this season, my first choice in midfield was Thomas Partey and Declan Rice behind Martin Ødegaard. And I sort of haven't changed my mind.
So would you just keep him around? Would you give him a new contract? Would you keep him around and let him see out his final year? And if you lose him
on
a free?
He's got 1 year left, hasn't he?
I completely understand where you're coming from, but I think that's kind of the trap of Thomas Partey, is that when you see him on the pitch, you want to keep him, but you just don't see him on the pitch often enough. I think the stats suggest he misses about half of the league games since he's joined the club. I think I would take a read on it. I think if there was interest in him and we felt that we could get a player of commensurate ability who was maybe more readily available, I think that would be a wise move. But I do understand.
It's a case of if.
Yeah, I do understand it, because when you see him play, you think, wow, this guy's got such talent and he can be so transformative for this team. I just think that it might be a bit of a trap in some respects, because the injuries, they just keep coming.
Adrian, I don't think there's a single player that we've got who receives the ball in tight areas quite as well and turns and just changes the whole shape of the game from defence to attack. I really love watching him play and I was so excited when he came. But yeah, what about the injuries? Is it? I mean, Mikel Arteta, we've said this and I've read various articles saying that he prizes the ability to play regularly above almost anything.
Yeah, I concur with everything that's been said because it's all correct. I'm probably on the side of James maybe slightly in terms of if there an offer comes in that's very decent, then it might be the time to cash out and bring in a younger model. You know, there are other midfielders out there. We definitely need, I think, another central midfielder. We need a younger version of Jorginho, in my opinion.
Wasn't Sambi Lokonga that guy?
Yeah,
and could he be that guy? Because I thought he played all right at Luton last season.
All right. I wouldn't necessarily sell Lokonga, but yeah, I don't think so, is my honest opinion. I don't think he's going to be quite at that level. I think we're going to go in for you know, a real quality central midfield player. It's such a key part of the pitch. And
is that where we're spending the money this year, do you think, Adrian?
If there's enough money for Isak or someone of that ilk, I'd definitely go there. But I think we could spend 50 million plus on a central midfielder this summer, whether that's, you know, someone in the mould of that Douglas Luiz, maybe not, or the Zubimendi, was it? Real Sociedad's been linked. Someone like that. Zubimendi, I think, would be the sort of younger version of Jorginho. You know, someone that can, you know, wins it back, gives it, keeps things ticking over, but also gets around the pitch superbly. I think that's the sort of player we need. Because if Declan Rice is going to play as a number eight, we need a couple of... We're talking about maybe letting Partey go. Jorginho isn't going to be first choice. So who's that guy? It's got to be someone good. It's got to be someone new, hasn't it, if we cash in on Partey?
Which does rather mean that the last two we're talking about, Fabio Vieira and Emile Smith Rowe, they're going to be squad players at best, James, and it's likely that at least one of them will be sold. And because we know the way that Edu talked about Fabio Vieira, the way that they, you know, they eulogised his talent, it strikes me that the management prefer him to Emile.
Well, I suppose he's an Edu and Arteta signing. You know, he probably has that over Emile in that, you know, they've made a kind of personal investment in his talent. But, you know, they're big fans of Emile Smith Rowe as well. They gave him a big fat contract. They gave him the number 10 shirt. You know, I think they had huge belief in his ability too. But I think both these players would probably be available for the right price this summer. Smith Rowe, I think, is probably the likelier to go because, you know, there is that kind of premium attached to homegrown talent. I think from an FFP perspective, it's really beneficial to Arsenal to sell a guy who's an academy player. But, you know, from just purely in my opinion, I think we're at the point with Fabio Vieira where I don't doubt there's talent there, but we've seen so little of it, I think, really, especially this season. Injuries have played their part in that too. I think I almost feel like he needs a change of scene to kind of kickstart his career. If we had the depth for it, I'd even be considering a loan potentially for someone like Fabio Vieira. I just think
Emile,
yeah, perhaps as well. I mean, if it was my decision, that I suppose that would suit. I just think eventually we need to start recouping some cash somewhere within the squad, and I feel like Emile maybe presents kind of an attractive opportunity to do that. I think both these players are at a point where they need to play to take the next step, and I just don't really see that happening for them at Arsenal. I see it more for Vieira than I do for Smith Rowe because of, I think, the esteem the manager holds him in and the way he talks about him. But to be honest, I think it could go either way for both of them this summer.
Quite. Let's talk about the forwards. Can I have a... Well, I mean, if he continues on this trajectory, Adrian, we don't need to. I mean, obviously, Isak was the one that everyone was talking about, and he is an outstanding finisher. But Havertz, I mean, the numbers do suggest that he is more than getting to grips with that centre-forward role, plus the link-up play. I mean, he's first choice. And from, you know, when we were in the January transfer window, we need a forward was pretty much the conversation for about a month. Maybe it's better to spend that money in midfield and just trust Kai to do his thing because of how hard he works, his finishing's improved, his team play is excellent. He's got one of the best touches in the squad. I'm starting to love him.
Well, James used the word trap earlier, which I thought was really, really a good choice in regards to the Thomas Partey dilemma. And I almost wonder with Kai, because he's been so good, you know, does that apply here in terms of us, you know, maybe shying away from going for a striker and sticking with him? I just think it's such an important position, Stoney, and I think you've got to have two or three brilliant options. And as amazing as he has been, I think we could do with someone else to challenge him, to rotate, to be in competition with. Someone quick, someone mobile, and someone a little bit more lethal, maybe inside the box. That's what I think we need. And remember, Kai Havertz can be Martin Odegaard's understudy. You know, we could, if anything happens to Martin, I mean, he's been brilliant. He's been so available to the manager, Martin Odegaard. But what happens if he's out? You know, that is the thing. What happens? I think Kai goes into that role, in which case, then what do you do? So yeah. I think we still go big on a striker, personally. I wouldn't sell Jesus. Obviously, Saka and Trossard stay. Martinelli too. I think the two obvious ones have to be Eddie and Reece. I think for the sake of their own careers, maybe a little bit like Vieira and Smith Rowe, it's just come to that point where they need to play. I remember sitting down with Arsene Wenger when I left the club, and he just said, look, you're 22, you're sort of in and around the squad, but I can't really guarantee you any games. You need to play. And it's exactly the same situation for them. So I think that they have to go this summer, and Ketia and Nelson, and for their own sakes. And that should bring in some money to go relatively big on one excellent number nine.
James, do you concur? I mean, that sounds pretty much what I would have said as well. But I don't know, in terms of spending the money, whether we'll get someone good enough who can go in. Because if we get someone good enough, then we want him to go straight into the first team, don't we?
Yeah, although I think it might just be as well about adding a different profile, as people say these days. You know, Adrian spoke about someone who's quick. I think someone who's got that sort of electric reaction time in the penalty area. You know, I often say, I think Leandro Trossard's our best finisher. And what is it that makes him good? He's very good at sorting his feet out inside the crowded penalty area. He can hit a shot with very little backlift, you know, and get enough power to beat a goalkeeper. Those would be the kind of attributes I'd be looking for. Someone who can, you know, find space and find a way to get a shot off when it doesn't necessarily appear to be on. I think Kai is a perfectly adequate finisher, but he's not scoring many goals out of nothing, I would say. He's getting on the end of some really good team moves. But I just think if we could add that X factor, which, you know, it's not unlike what a fully fit and firing Gabriel Jesus offers us, to be honest with you. And I think getting him back to his best would be a big boost too. But those would be the kinds of quality I'd be looking for in a new forward. On the other hand, you know, I can understand why people are saying team structure is great with Kai. And, you know, there is a case to, can you add that X factor elsewhere? You know, could you look at a wide player like, you know, Nico Williams at Bilbao? Or could you look at someone playing in the left eight role with a bit of imagination? There are other ways of sort. There are different ways of skinning the cat. But yeah, I do think another forward would definitely strengthen our case next season. And yeah, I was just going to say that, like, I know that it may feel like we don't need it, but I think we're that good now that some of the changes we make and some of the additions we make, we aren't necessarily going to see coming. And they might feel really ruthless. Like, you know, buying a centre forward to start ahead of Kai Havertz might feel really ruthless and unsentimental given what he's done in the last 6 months. But I sort of think that may be what's required if we're going to beat someone like Man City to a title.
Yeah, there you got to be as ruthless and unsentimental as possible.
I was going to throw a bit of a bomb in there and say, look, we're well stocked, aren't we, on the left in terms of options? Jesus, Trossard, Martinelli, all superb players on the left, but we don't have that backup, you know, on the right for Bukayo Saka. Do you sell big? You know, do you sell Martinelli or Jesus for a massive fee to bring in a guy that can compete with Saka or be, you know, be a perfectly good standing on the other side? It's an option. I'm not saying I want that to happen, but I think sometimes, as we've hinted on this podcast, sometimes you've got to sell a good player, you know, sell someone really good to sort of regenerate the team. It wouldn't shock me.
I mean, I think that's a big one, but I do think we do need cover for Bukayo Saka on the right, much as he's incredibly resilient.
But I don't think we're going to have the budget to make all of these signings, are we? Unless you know, some decent money's brought in. I don't want Martinelli to go, but I'm just saying that is on the back of the season he's just had. It wouldn't be the shock of the century for me if something like that happened.
I think there are sort of 10 to 12 players in this first team squad that could leave this summer, you know, might be available if a buyer came in. And sometimes the market dictates that to you. You know, what if there's not a buyer for Reece Nelson or Emile Smith Rowe, but suddenly there is for a Gabriel Martinelli? You know, then you have to really think about it. And, you know, sometimes, yeah, exactly. The interest level in our players will determine, I think, a lot of what we do, because we've had a good few summers now where we've expected to bring in more revenue through player sales than we ultimately have. And
I think it really is time now for the club to demonstrate they can extract value from these players. And I think doing so is actually essential if we're going to carry on spending at the kind of level we have. So it's going to be fascinating to see how that plays out.
And I'm assuming another loan from Marquinhos, probably. Quick question before we go to a break. If we get one major signing, where do we want it? I'm saying midfield, by the way, central midfield. What are you saying, Adrian?
Central midfield.
James?
Yeah, central midfield for me as well. I think such an important part of the pitch. And, you know, we've got a number of older players there with different contract situations. We need somebody who can complement Declan Rice in the longer term.
Ian Stone, James McNicholas and Adrian Clark here on Handbrake Off, the Arsenal podcast brought to you by The Athletic.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
They get a handbrake off and you can see that they are more free to play.
Okay, this is Handbrake Off, the Athletic's Arsenal podcast. We go to Manchester United on Sunday afternoon. Two games to go. James, I don't know. I just thought I watched a bit of that Palace game. They were terrible. They've got a huge amount of injuries. No leadership on or off the pitch, as far as I can tell. This is pretty much a nadir, although I am hoping it's going to get a bit worse on Sunday for them. I mean, if this was just two teams that we had no connection with, you'd look at the lineups and you'd look at the form and go, well, the Arsenal boys will batter the Manchester United boys. But obviously we've got one win in 16 games at Old Trafford. I mean, what's the mindset got to be going into a game like this?
I think you just hit the nail on the head, really. I think the mindset has to be that they have to try and just take it at face value. You know, a game against a team who are suffering with a lot of injuries, desperately short of form, desperately short of organisation. And if Arsenal go and play to their level, there is only one result in this game. And I share all the same anxieties as everybody else. You know, I watched that Manchester United performance and thought, well, sod's law, we know what's going to happen at Old Trafford on Sunday. But, you know, if Arsenal perform to their potential, they should be absolutely fine, because teams cut through this Manchester United midfield so, so easily. And we have a real, you know, we have some really gifted players who could do that. So I think they have to approach it with full confidence and try and just make it like any other game. Because if they do,
I think they'll win.
Adrian, as an ex-player, when you went back to places where you didn't have a good record, was that in your head at all?
It might be an individual's head about, you know, if they've had bad games there and bad experiences. But no, not really, because every it's so infrequent that you go to these places, teams change. And look, I just think that this Arsenal team has been to, you know, all the major grounds around the country and, you know, some big ones in Europe and has largely performed superbly. You just got to block out the noise and concentrate on the game like we did at Tottenham, even though I still don't think we played that well at Tottenham, which still sort of grates a little bit. But if providing we're even at 80%, 85%, we should win this game. Manchester United's organisation is virtually non-existent defensively. The players looked lost the other night. You know, fullbacks and centre-backs getting drawn to the ball completely out of position. If we play at a good tempo and pass and move the ball as quickly and as smoothly as we have done lately, we'll have 30 shots at Old Trafford. That's what I feel. So let's go and make that happen. And look, they might improve because there's some names on, you know, that might return. Bruno Fernandes, maybe Lissandro Martinez, maybe Shaw, maybe Varane. You know, they will make a difference. But if we play to our level and Manchester United stick around their current form, it's an easy win. It has to be.
I think that this could well be a real test of Arsenal's cutting edge. You know, we're talking about that execution and clinical, potentially, addition to the squad. I think when you step back from Arsenal's season, I think there have been too many periods in games where we've been exceptional. It feels like such nitpicking, and it is. But there have been too many periods for me where we've been on top, completely dominated for 20 or 30 minutes and maybe not got the reward for that we should have done. And it's such fine margins, but I think we are likely, as Adrian says, to get plenty of opportunities against Manchester United in the final third to create chances, to take chances. But in a game like this, at a stadium like this, you have to seize those moments. And I'm really hoping Arsenal do, because as I say, if they do, they shouldn't have that much to worry about here.
No, if they do. All right. And first team, by the way. I mean, we're expecting Raya, Tommy, Gabriel, Saliba, White, Rice, Partey, Odegaard, Trossard, Havertz and Saka, right? That is our first team right now, Adrian.
I think so, yeah. I don't see why you'd change it. Yeah, that midfield battle is key. They're definitely not the strongest in there. So it's really, really important we dominate there and then funnel the ball wide. And it's from there. I just want us to be a little bit more dynamic and have a little bit more belief than sometimes we've showed in these big games, like Bayern Munich away, even Tottenham away at times. I felt we had another gear to go through. I just don't want us to hold back, because this isn't a team that are as good as Bournemouth. You know, Bournemouth, we've just beaten a team in Bournemouth that are much better than Manchester United. So let's go and attack them like we'd attack Bournemouth. That would be my message to the players. And yeah, hopefully we do it.
Yep, hopefully we do. Let's have a song. Adrian, I'm going to come to you first. What have you got for our song today?
I have got a song from the Spider-Man movie, Across the Spider-Verse. This is Art de Roche would love this. basically, it's called Annihilate. It's by Lil Wayne, who the kids will know much more than me. But Annihilate, I just thought it was a great name for a song and a great word in regards to what we should aim to do to Manchester United the weekend. They've given us so much pain down the years. They've, in recent seasons, they've beaten us or took points off us when they didn't deserve it. We have to show no mercy here. We have to go for the jugular and annihilate them, which is why I've gone for the song.
Nice. What about you, James? Similar sort of vibe?
No, but I wish it was. That had me, you know, had my goosebumps almost there from Adrian. We've got to go and do it this weekend. I completely agree. You know, we've had some famous victories at Old Trafford down the years, but I think this is a real opportunity to
get a resounding win, which doesn't come around too often at that ground. So fingers crossed. I went for a very different tune. I went for Change by Tracy Chapman, just on the theme of the summer. I think as well as we've done, there will be change that we don't necessarily anticipate. It might be a fan favourite leaving, might be someone coming in that we never saw coming. I think, you know, what Arteta did last summer shows us he's never going to stand still. He's always going to want to evolve the team, push forward, and sometimes in ways that might surprise us.
I've decided to go for Getting Better All The Time by the Beatles, because I was just, for some reason, it just popped up on my iTunes, and I thought, we are, aren't we? We are. Getting so much better all the time. It's getting better all the time. I was also thinking about the look on Ten Hag's face on Monday night, which was really, he looked bewildered. He looked completely bewildered. And I thought, that is not a look that I've ever seen Mikel Arteta have. He always looks like he knows what he's doing. It really does encourage me. Go on, Adrian.
Yeah, and just cast your mind back to pre-season. Cast your mind back to when they tried to kick us off the park. Was it in New York?
Yeah, it was in the States.
They celebrated that win like it was a cup final. Ten Hag was beaming. They were punching the air. Think how much has changed since then. It's absolutely glorious. Let's not let them off the hook. Let's not forget that day in the sun. Let's go and wipe the floor with them.
Yeah. Adrian's pumped, James.
No, I love it.
I like it.
It's so big. I want to take it to the last day.
Yeah, no, of course.
And we have to win to take it to the last day.
We do. Yeah. We do. Okay, that's it for this edition of Hand Break Off. Thanks to James McNicholas. Thanks to Adrian Clark. Thanks to Jay, our producer. And thank you, listener, for listening. And we'll see you after Man U on Sunday. Ta-ra.